Arf, Pup Ake is here with The Dog Dish, a podcast all about puppy play and the humans behind the hoods. The conversation I'm going to share with you here in a minute took place on the 20th of September, 2019, during Florida Power Exchange, an annual event held in the Tampa Bay area that focuses on power dynamics within relationships of all kinds. FPE caters primarily to people in or interested in power exchange relationships. But true to form of events in Tampa Bay, while the event and its spaces are designed for one group, they are open to all. And that's how yours truly fits in. You see, I'm a proud stray as a pup and single as a human. I don't live within a power exchange dynamic, and yet I see plenty of them all around the puppy community. Being surrounded by something without participating in it gives me an interesting outsider perspective. And because FPE isn't designed for puppies, I'm a bit of an outsider to that event as well. Those outsider perspectives are what I present here to try and get folks at FPE to learn about and think about the norms of hierarchy within the puppy community, and then to challenge those norms by presenting them in a different light and through a different lens. Some of what I presented in the talk you're about to hear might be controversial, but that's exactly why I presented it, to provoke discussion and consideration. As with everything we bark about on this show, you don't have to agree with me, but I do ask you to listen and consider. So for now, grab a chew toy, maybe find a comfy lap, and perk up your ears. Here's my Florida Power Exchange talk from way back on September 20th, 2019, called Puppy Hierarchy and Its Discontents. Let me give you a quick, disclaimer for my goals with today's class. If you were at my class earlier today, the goal of that one was to get everyone engaged in discussion and to kind of collaboratively come up with ideas. Not so much with this one. This is going to be more lecture-ish. At the same time, my goal here is to try and poke the bear. I am going to make an argument that, yeah, is kind of based on broad ideas. It's not terribly specifically accurate, but I want to get you thinking. I want to challenge the way you think about puppy play. And I want to find things that I can say that make you go, That's the mood I'm looking for. That's how I want you to feel during this class at some point. So my hope is I will say something that's going to make you not really like what you're hearing. That's my goal. You've all probably heard of the concept of an alpha male. You've probably met, perhaps, what you would consider to be an alpha male. If you're familiar with puppy play, you have probably heard of alpha pups. And if you're really familiar with puppy play, you've probably heard of alpha pups and beta pups and gamma pups and omega pups and all that jazz. I'm going to go through that concept, explain that to folks if you're not familiar with it, and then, most importantly, poke holes in it like hell. Quite frankly, I want to kind of blow up that concept and say that it doesn't actually exist the way we think it exists. And I want to point out some of the hazards of looking at puppy play through that kind of hierarchy and show how it can be psychologically damaging and not a good idea for the community. So that's kind of where I'm going with it. Let's see here. To start, I am a stray pup, which becomes relevant when talking about a hierarchy like this. I don't see myself as part of a puppy hierarchy. I identify as a gamma, which is a can of worms all to itself. I'll get into that here in a few minutes. And for all the sapiosexuals out there, get ready. Back in 1947, this guy by the name of Schenkel publishes a study of wolves, not apes, but I figure if I'm going for the concept of alpha male, silverback gorillas are often known as alpha males, and they often have this kind of relation within their groups. So the study was published about wolves at University of Basel, and the idea was that there's this one wolf who's going to take control of the pack and maintain control of that pack and be the alpha wolf, and the whole thing is his, and everybody is subservient to him, and he just runs everything. And other pups or other wolves might try and take dominance, but they have to fight that one wolf. That one wolf is in charge. When that one wolf dies, another wolf will come up to take its place. It's a hard habit to not say that word. Sorry. So he noted a structure, and I'll get into the details of the different parts of that structure here in a few minutes. But when we talk about an alpha pup, this is where it comes from, 1947. One little asterisk to note, he was studying wolves in captivity. He was not studying wolves in the wild. That makes a huge difference in how people get along. Yes?
Important to note that he has since completely recanted his original research on the subject.
Give me two slides, calm down. But yeah, spoiler alert, jeez. No, that yes, in 1999, someone else published a rebuke, but then this author has been like, no, my bad. Yeah, that happened. When you put a bunch of folks from different groups together, they're going to have to figure out a different way to interact, right? And there's going to be a fight for dominance. The point that I'm going to make in a couple of slides, spoiler alert, geez, is that it's similar to incarceration, where you bring folks from various walks of life and force them to be in a confined space together. And that's going to change the dynamic drastically. So I went to Wikipedia, as one does, to become smarter. And I was looking at some of the comments there about pony play, because again, like my knowledge of pony play is at Wikipedia levels, sorry. And some of the earliest published images about pony play came out in Bizarre magazine from 1946 to 1959. 1946 to 1959 was when pony play starts being published in print. 1947 is when we have this publication of, wolves work in packs and have alphas and that sort of thing. So here's my guess. What if there's this, in the 1940s, the late 40s, early 50s, there's this emerging global interest in better understanding animalistic social relations. That would cover sex play and animals at the same time and would allow for society to blend those in some creative ways. And at the same time, we've got the sexual revolutions that came after World War II. And so our society was open to, hey, what does a role mean? What does sex involve? So our society was very open to that sort of disruption at the time, and zoology was apparently open to that sort of disruption, and the sexual freedom was coming about, so we're open to ideas and inspiration and that sort of thing. So put all of that together, and it makes sense to me to have pet play kind of come into its own. It seems right at that moment. It also seems sensible to me that it would pick up on something like the concept of the alpha male. So here's a quote from Schenkel's piece. Remember, this is a quote from the document that says alpha males are a thing. Social orders in wolf packs are by no means definitive and clear-cut. They are far more equilibria among uninterrupted and interacting forces. So there are things at play, and they just sort of reach stasis for a second. They hold on for a bit. They work for now. It's not that somebody is alpha forever and ever, amen. Keep that in mind when we start talking about roles in the modern puppy community. So, this is your slide. In 1999, Met comes around and publishes Alpha Status, Dominance, and the Division of Labor in Wolf Packs. And in this one, flat out says, you know what, we were wrong. There is no such thing as an alpha male. Because we were looking in captivity, if we look in the wild, guess what? Wolves hang out in what they call breeder pairs. Jokes write themselves sometimes, just saying. And so those pairs stick together and have offspring. The offspring stay with the pairs, creating a pack. Those offspring stick around for no more than 3 years, and then they will move on. But the breeding pair sticks together. And so what we saw as an alpha male in captivity was basically one half of a breeding pair struggling for dominance with other halves of breeding pairs. Here's a quote from this one. The concept of the alpha wolf as a top dog ruling a group of similar aged compatriots is particularly misleading. Yes. It doesn't happen, and we should stop talking about it because it makes people think things that don't happen, that aren't true. So here's my thesis. That the alpha, beta, gamma, and omega labels that we place on pups in modern puppy communities is the equivalent of puppy prison culture. There we go, I said it. Gauntlet thrown.
Or street gangs.
I would accept that, absolutely. I'm with you. Yeah. Forced containment without the familial structure. Now, in defense of the alpha-beta hierarchy concept, a lot of pups use that to provide familial structure to folks who need it. To, for lack of a better word off the top of my head, an orphan. Some pup who doesn't have family to go to gets brought into one of these. They can be used for healthy, supportive purposes. Can be. Often aren't, is my thesis. So one last shot I need to throw at the alpha concept. You know what does have alphas? Hens. Hens have alphas. Not roosters, hens. Ever heard of a pecking order? Hens peck their way to the top of the order. So whoever's the best pecker wins. Again, the jokes write themselves. I don't make this up. But whoever's got the best pecker is the alpha. Hens, though. I'm just saying. So if we've got these people who are like, I'm the alpha male. I see you. Well, granted, they are. But when people are like, I've got the biggest balls, that makes me the alpha. No, honey, that's not how this works. If I could completely editorialize for a second, we need more hens in the puppy community. We don't have enough representation of diverse genders in our community. It is just tremendously male-dominated. Oh my gosh. There are pups in the community who reject female pups, who say they don't want to mosh with female pups. They don't want female pups attending their events, that sort of thing. Tangent, personal views, editorializing. I'll get to both of you guys in just a second. A little bit ago, here in the Tampa community, we had particular people who were outspoken, who were members of certain organizations, say that they did not welcome people who were not born biologically male. It's a thing that happens. People have these unfortunate views, and some people think, that certain things are only available to people who are biologically born with a dick and labeled as male when they came out of a uterus. But it happens. I don't like it, but that's what we're dealing with here. It's a puppy version of that same thing. So a side note related to that, I'm going to say something that you've heard said by other people before in other contexts. It applies here as well. Trans women of color were responsible for forming a whole hell of a lot that we take for granted in this community. Absolutely. And trans women of color are often excluded from the very things they were responsible for forming. And so your question of, you know, how is this possible, goes even to the heart of how homosexuality works in this country. Have you ever heard of the concept of a gold star gay? In the gay community, we could be gay. This is all awful, awful, horrible, masochistic. It's masochistic bullshit. But yep. But these are terms that are out there. All right. So in the gay community, we can be gay. Or we can be a gold star gay, which means I'm so gay, I've never even slept with a vagina. Or you can be a platinum gay, which means not only have I never slept with a vagina, I didn't even come through a vagina when I was born by C-section. I'm that gay.
Seriously, this is a thing.
It is a thing. I am not making this up. I will stand in front of you all and confess that I admit to a bit of humor from that. I find it funny that someone would claim to be a platinum gay because they were born by C-section, and oh, isn't it silly that you aren't attracted to vaginas and you never ever went through one. I find humor in that.
Yeah.
However, setting it up as a hierarchy and saying you've earned an award that is higher than someone else's award because of the way you were born, that's bullshit.
I like to think that it was originally said in irony as jokes, and then the wrong people took it the wrong way.
So that it was
made to be a thing. Just it probably started at like a private party, and they were joking around and just came up with the terms. And then one of the other people was saying it out in public as telling their inside joke, and people were like, oh, I know that, I can be that, and using it to get, it comes from the manipulation of the way.
I wear the same rose-colored glasses you wear. I like to think that as well. So we're touching on things that are fraught, and we are exposing issues in today's community that, yeah, and you're absolutely right. So real quick, you say that you're here to learn how to work with the puppy side of your partner. This class isn't going to directly address that. What I'm happy to follow up with you afterward, absolutely happy to have that conversation. The short version, if you take nothing else away, take this. The more you treat that person like an actual biological canine, the happier that person will be. That's your rule of thumb. With any pet player, whatever species they identify as, the more you treat them like the species they identify as, the happier it will make them. That's your rule of thumb. So now that we've basically blown this shit to bits, I want to feed you the lines that my community would like you to know. So here's how this all goes down. I want to give you some definitions, give you a couple metaphors, try to make this make sense. So we're going to start with the alpha male. Alpha male, oh, wow, that text is absolutely impossible to read. Here I was thinking I was going to have, you know, this HD projector and all that, and that just didn't happen. All right, so there are notes available online. I apologize for not having printouts. If anyone would like a printout, I'm staying at home, so I will go make printouts and bring them back tomorrow. You just let me know. I will absolutely hunt you down. And yes, ma'am, I will do that. Yep, all right. I will bring them tomorrow. I just completely forgot today, sorry. So you've got the alpha pup. The alpha pup is top dog who wants to run things, right? So there we are. Next up, we have the beta pup. Beta pup is the one who is basically the right-hand man, if you will. It'd be the pup who is there ready to take charge if needed, who is there to support the alpha. The beta has a sense of importance and place and position and authority, but isn't the leader, isn't the one in charge. Alphas and betas in relationships are very common, where the alpha would, it's loosely mapped onto a DS relationship, except the beta is a little bit more self-sufficient, is what I would say. Not necessarily submissive, but definitely defers to the alpha. I just put up the omega. An omega pup is the equivalent of your S type, your submissive, where the omega enjoys providing service. And that's how that person or that pup sees themselves fitting into the pack. You'll notice that there are a couple of spots missing on the slide right now. These are where things get fun. So the first one I'm going to throw in there is the gamma pup, which I mentioned at the beginning is how I identify. Gamma pups, there are a couple of ways of looking at them. One option is the concept of a switch hitter, where a gamma pup will just play whatever role is necessary given the situation or the circumstance. And I see some of that in the way that I work. If I go into a spot and nobody's taking charge and there are a whole bunch of misbehaving pups, I'll step up and do what's necessary to kind of herd them and get things in line. I've been a teacher long enough, I can put on my teacher voice, I can tell people what to do. I jokingly say that I'm not an alpha, but I can play one on TV. I'm only good for about an hour of it, and then my introversion just makes me collapse and I'm done. And I can't fake being an alpha very well at all. But if I've got a room full of omegas, I can do it well enough for their needs. And so I can make them do things, right? So I can play that role. I'm usually most comfortable feeling sort of like a beta because I like helping people. I like doing things to help. And I like having a sense of autonomy. I do not need to be in charge. So that's usually where I fit, except I really don't care about all this hierarchy bullshit, never have. And so I view myself as kind of outside it or beside the hierarchy. I can also be an omega. I can roll over and you know, do this number and just let you do whatever. And sometimes you can tell me to do stuff and I'll just be like, yes, sir, and I will do it to an extent, right? So it's like I move wherever. Side note, I presented a version of this I presented a version of this at the Florida Leather and Fetish Pride contest last year as part of my run. And I finished my thing and opened it up to questions. And I'm competing for a title at the point, right? And so I'm like a little bit nervous and I've got judges watching me and all that. Somebody in the back of the room goes, so what about Sir Alphas? I'm like, huh?
And I had that person ask the question to me 3 or 4 different times because I literally did not understand the phrase that was being spoken to me because I had never heard Sir Alpha before. It was not part of my awareness. So Sir Alpha, I'm going to say this politely, and then I'm going to give you the editorialized version. Politely, the Sir Alpha is someone who likes to exert dominance over people both in their human side and in their puppy side. So when they're in the pack modality, they want to be in charge of the pack. When they are a human, they want to have the D-type personality as a human as well. And they carry that into both situations, and they see themselves slightly differently, but having that same sort of authority in both situations. That was polite. Snarkily, I will say, I don't really want this on record, but here we go anyway. Personal views, the Sir Alpha concept was created for people who want to say that they are so alpha-ish that they out-alpha the alphas. People who want so desperately to say, no, but I'm on top, that they have to come up with something bigger than top to say I'm topper than top.
So they're a platinum alpha?
Right. I think it's a load of horse shit, quite frankly. No offense to the ponies out there. I think we're inventing titles to make ourselves feel better. And I notice sometimes pups will introduce themselves as, hi, I'm Alpha Pup so-and-so. And in the back of my mind, I'm going like, honey, if you need to tell me you're an alpha, newsflash. It don't work that way, right? So like, these bug me because they get misused so much. So let me give you a couple of metaphors real quick, mostly just for silliness, but also to drive home the point here. So the first metaphor I'm going to give you is imagine a pack of pups in a car. They each have their positions and roles, and here's how this would work. The Sir Alpha drives the car, owns the car, owns everything and everyone inside the car, or at least believes that he does. The Alpha pup rides shotgun, makes calls on potty breaks and picks the radio station, occasionally debates with the driver which exit to take, that sort of thing. Feels large and in charge, but you know, situationally. The beta is going to be that passenger who thinks that they're on the driving rotation, whether we actually get to them or not, I don't know. They believe they're on the driving rotation, but they always have that oh shit handle next to them so they can hold on tight because they're not really in control of what's going on. They're just along for the ride. They're there, they're ready, but the Gamma Pup is the one
on top of the car.
No, I wouldn't go that far. The Gamma Pup, I would say that we're the backseat driver who has the map, and we brought the food, and we've got headphones on, so all y'all can just go buzz off. We're prepared, we're ready to help out when needed. We don't necessarily need to take control. I don't want to drive the car. I just want to be there to help other people when needed, but I want my headphones so I can just do my thing.
Are you the one that sticks their head out the window?
Well, we're pups, so...
Yes.
You know. But yes. Yes, we would. Yes, we would.
They're just in the windshield.
Right, we'd be driving a convertible because we're pups. Yeah. And then the Omega is stashed in the trunk by request... And loves it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so a second ago I mentioned that the Alpha controls the radio station. So, second metaphor for you, the song that would play to represent each of the roles in puppy hierarchy. The Sir Alpha would play You Belong to Me by the Duprees. The Alpha would play Leader of the Pack by the Shangri-Las. The Beta would play I Will Follow Him by Peggy Marsh.
Follow him wherever he may go.
The Gammas would play Space Oddity by David Bowie.
Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear him? Am I approaching my tin can?
And the Omegas, and I asked an Omega, what song would you want to be your song? And he replied, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? By Culture Club. Love it. So if you need mental associations, there you go. That's like view of the world in a 3-minute song, and we're done. Alrighty, so that was that. So if you've accepted what I've said so far, and I kind of feel like you're sort of on my side here, you know, I don't feel much resistance to these things. I thought I was going to be pissing somebody off, but I don't know. So these are the problems that I notice. And the last bullet point up there is what else? Because I would like to hear if you know of anything else that I've not thought of. My first concern is the psychology behind this and the self-worth that it brings with it on both ends of the spectrum. I see a major problem with a lot of alpha pups, self-identified alpha pups, I should clarify, where they have an inflated sense of self-worth that gets them and other people into trouble because they aren't natural leaders. They don't actually have that sense of authority and confidence, and they're not all as put together as they want to believe they are. And so it becomes dangerous, it becomes harmful, et cetera, et cetera. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the folks who have low self-worth because they feel like they're an omega, and they feel like, because I'm an omega, I will always be an omega, that is my place in life, and they stop trying to grow. And when you get somebody in that service-oriented position, if you don't help them grow, you're doing them a disservice. So I, both ends, I see big problems there.
I actually choose to be beta.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a choice. And part of it is that, for those who do know me, I do have a very alpha. I go in, I handle the shit, I get shit done, I get, like, I have that personality. But I don't, when I'm in a pup headspace, I don't want that. The whole point is for me not to have to be that. So the beta, for me, psychologically, lets me, like, I know I'm worthy because, one, I can take care of my alpha, I can take care of our pack, I can take care of our family, but at the same time, I know that other people have my back as well. But I'm not so much that I like the hierarchy of it. As
sure.
Being. So mm-hmm. For me, that part of it is important.
Yep.
But that's why I don't pick gamma.
I do want to point out that in your description of yourself and the things that you do, you said that you go in and you get shit done. Never once did you say you take control. And
I need to.
Yes, but you didn't. You didn't say that. Sure. The priority for you is getting shit done, and that's why I think you fit the beta role really, really well. The folks who see themselves as alphas are in it for the control, not for the getting shit done.
Conversation has provided me with the insight to realize that this is a fucking weird mindset to me.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because from the primal lens, when one is not receiving their kibble and water in a dish, when the kibble and water runs away from you, the power exchange between two people serves a purpose in that it is for the survival of the pack. Everything is utilitarian oriented. And the utilization of power cannot be, I am here and you are here. You have to be in control and receptive to the instructions of those who see other things around you. So when a lion pride is working the way that it does, it is divided by function rather than I don't want to say that there's no differential in power, because that is slightly observed, but it's significantly more analogous to the pair bonding strategy that wolves actually hold. And so to hear all of these things about, you know, switches are unacceptable seems really, really fucking odd, because what are you gonna do when everybody in your group doesn't know how to hunt because they're all bottoms?
Yeah.
You starve and die.
Welcome to the gay male sex scene in Tampa. I'm starving. I'm dying. What I hear you saying is that roles should be functional, should be based on function, not based on rank.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you on that one.
They should be geared precisely to the needs of your social unit.
I want to throw out two comments here. The first one, I want to put in a bit of a defense for the hierarchy within the puppy community. It isn't all bad. There are folks who use it to very good ends, use it the way you would expect or hope for, where people will assume the role of alpha and have others enter in the role of omega in order to bond and become closer and to function and to grow and develop as human beings. They come together in a relationship as alpha and beta, and they're comfortable with that, and that allows them to work together better, that sort of thing. It can be done right. My complaint is that, you know, writ large, and whenever we buy into these things wholeheartedly across an entire community, that's when it gets dangerous. It can be good. In sometimes. And the other thing, when Amok and Sir Gethin were talking, I had my own realization. So I've been in this community for 4 years, right? I had the worst time figuring out my place. Amok said that she gets off on protocol and hierarchy. Obviously, I don't. I don't get off on hierarchy. I struggle with protocol. Seriously struggle with it. I'm always afraid that I'm going to do something wrong because I still don't know what all the rules are. I'm learning them by making mistakes, and that's about it. Thank God people I know are gracious. And so I don't have that need there. And then I go into the puppy community, and we've got this extra hierarchy built in. I didn't know where I went. And sexually, I'm a bottom, period. Like, there ain't a lick of verse in me. Maybe I top twice a year kind of thing. And for me to have the sort of self-confidence I have and the sort of like presence and self-assurance that I have, and to say, honey, I'm a total bottom, like, that doesn't happen. And so I didn't know where I fit that way and all that. So, like, I'm weird, and I think my weirdness made me very sensitive to and suspect of all of the things that I've been talking about here today. I've learned that my weirdness and the fact that I don't fit into these structures that we normally take for granted within either the BDSM community or the puppy community means that I kind of question them a bit more, and I kind of critique them a bit more, and it's allowed me to poke all these holes in it and all that jazz. And I'm starting to learn that's not really a bad thing. I like my perspective. I like the fact that I have that and all that. And so I can fulfill the role of a gamma, if we want to really put a label on it like that. I'm that person on the outside, looking in, trying to help. And I'm trying to help by saying, yo, it's not as good as you think in there, right? That sort of thing. Before I forget to mention it, fourth bullet point down, puppy collectors and other predatory practices. These scare the shit out of me, and I see them happening all around. And I've jumped in a couple of times to say, dude, you've raised a red flag in my world, and I need you to think this through, please. There are people who on social media, on Grindr, on Recon, on all those deliciously wonderful, wholesome apps, who will say, I'm an alpha in search of a pop, or I'm just a pop looking for my alpha. I'm just like, that's creepy. Like, how do you know when you found it, and how do you vet those people properly, and that sort of thing? And so it's bad. And I put the concept of puppy collectors because there are alphas out there, there are handlers out there who really seem to be trying to just amass as many pups around them as they can. And we've got the term puppy collector within the community to label certain people. And we will warn folks, be careful, I think they're a puppy collector. I don't know what they're going to do for you. I think you're going to be another number for them, a statistic, that sort of thing. Because we've got these hierarchies, go back to how I editorialized Sir Alpha, how snarky I got about that. That one really worries me, because I fear that people take on those titles just because they want to look like they're at the top of the mountain. And like, what else is in there? And then by having all of these rigid hierarchies that we fall into, we've got these weird power struggles where everybody's vying for the top for, you know, what purpose? Why are they even trying to do this? We all have to label each other and all that garbage. And I will grant you that these terms can come in handy, because Amok is able to say, I fit the role of beta quite well. And I'm able to say, I work well as a gamma. So there's a balance that we need to strike. We need to acknowledge how those labels can be useful.
In the positive way.
We also need to acknowledge that those labels should not be the things that define us. And there is something to be said for other people can know you better than you know yourself sometimes. And folks who are in the community know what it takes to be certain roles. And so asking other people, how do I present to you? What do you read me as? Can be a really instructive question to ask. Because while I don't know of a checklist that you're looking for, I can watch a pup in a mosh for a few minutes and have a pretty good read of where they fit in that hierarchy.
But do they have a clear read?
Probably not. It takes time to become self-aware and self-confident enough to know where your place is. And I like the idea of coming up with something like a checklist. However, it could then encourage people to pigeonhole themselves and say, this is me all the time, forever and ever. And that's never the case. I would say that these terms that we've been talking about throwing around, if they're not used as labels, but instead used as descriptors, that would be a really, really good start. Because when we use something as a label, it becomes a container. When we use something as a descriptor, it becomes a component. And that is a huge mind shift that can be super, super helpful. Because then I can be a gamma pup and so many other things. Whereas if it's a label, I'm a gamma pup. And everything else I am has to be in terms of being a gamma pup. And that's where we get into problems. When I came to identify myself as a gamma, that empowered me because I was able to then say, oh, I don't have to worry so much about fitting in because some people don't. And at the same time, when I feel compelled to take a little bit more control over a situation, I should allow myself to do that because some people do feel that kind of... It was freeing to know that that was a thing that could exist.
I'm really glad that you said that because one of the things that I have noticed about primal headspace, especially when I get the looks when I tell people I don't ever shift out of that headspace, is how compatible an animal or animalistic view of the world is with the way that we live. Generally, there's not that much space between us and members of the canid genus or the felid genus. Like, the way that we operate in the world is very circumstantial, but the actual operating parameters are basically the same.
And a lot of trying on different forms of play or trying on different labels is to see what feels right. And I remember whenever I put on my hood for the first time, I was like, okay, I get it. Or I put a tail on, and like I'm wearing this all day today because I love the feeling of the wag. It makes sense to me. When I first got my first job right out of college, I started teaching at a high school. My department chair nicknamed me Puppy. This was 20 years ago. I'm this many. Right? Like, she knew something I didn't even know. So to your point, I work very much, like, I have the personality and the mentality of a puppy more than just I like to romp around on the mats. Like, that's whatever. I intentionally view the world as a puppy would, because to me that's comforting, to me that's entertaining, to me that's, quite frankly, one of the ways that I'm able to sleep at night, because if I take the world too seriously, it pisses me off and I just want to go home and cry. But if I can look at the world as a puppy does, I'm able to be like, ah, fuck this, it doesn't matter to me, and move on. May I talk about what happened on Sunday? So I had a delightful experience on Sunday. We did the second Jitters and Critters event in St. Pete. It starts at a coffee shop, and then third Sunday of every month. It's at 6 p.m. at Community Cafe. There we are. It runs 6 to 8 Community Cafe. If people want to, I lead a pup crawl because I'm the next best thing to an alcoholic. We go from Community Cafe to two dog-themed bars in St. Pete. It's just fun. It's purely a social activity for pups to do. And one of the people who joined us was there to kind of explore critter play. Don't identify as a critter, was asking questions about it, wanted to figure out what was up. Happened to have three people who were like super jazzed about this idea, and we happened to have extra gear on us. And so you should have seen us all. We're like, oh, try on this thing, or try on that thing. Or, oh, I've got my tail that I literally took my tail off my body and handed it to him. I was like, here, you gotta try my tail, because it's different from his tail, right? We geeked out so bad. It was fantastic. We were like his personal shopper. It was amazing. But then our reward was, I will never forget the look on his face when he put on the first hood. And you know that you can't see facial expressions when people are wearing hoods.
It's the
eyes. Right here. It wrinkled in the way that he does whenever he smiles, like his teeth are showing because he's smiling from ear to ear. I saw it. We all saw it. We all remarked on it. And then I heard him go, oh. I posted on Facebook that I think I witnessed the birth of a puppy that day because he, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I believe you felt comfort in that in ways that you weren't expecting.
Yeah.
And you felt appropriate in it. You felt represented by it, something to that effect. So going back to what you were saying with trying to, or what you were saying with trying to find a place, and then what you were saying with trying to find how to interact and all that, it is all self-discovery. And it's finding what fits, finding what makes sense. And we got to have a conversation about ears. How my ears have to, I'm not wearing it right to be able to do it, but my ears have to be able to do this number. They have to be floppy. If a lot of the new hoods have little itty bitty pointy ears. And that ain't me. I cannot do that. Yeah, they're Dobermans almost. Some of them legit are. I have to have floppy ears. That is my personality. If I wear a different hood, it doesn't feel right. It's not me. If I look in the mirror, it's not me. If I do this and I don't feel the move, it's not me. I mean, you saw as soon as I did this, I was like, oh wait, it's not right because I didn't feel them flop. My tail has a certain amount of wag to it. If I wear the other tail, there's another style. It's more solid, more firm. It wags, but just a little bit. If I wear that, I'm like, why the hell am I wearing this? That's not what my tail does. This is what my tail does. It's me. So it's ridiculous. It's so foolish. But, right, it's me. So there we are. So we are officially out of time, and I want to end by thanking you. Very genuinely, because you all have made this a wonderful, delightful conversation. I've had a lot of fun. I appreciate how you went along for the ride. I appreciate the questions that you asked, the contributions you all made. So thank you very, very much for being here. And
thanks for listening to The Dog Dish, and special thanks to FPE 2019's presenter coordinator, Pup Otter, aka Topher Chandler, aka Fuck You Topher, for inviting me to talk. Thanks also to Amaya and Daddy Michael for producing Florida Power Exchange. Our next episode will be all about collars, why people wear them, what they mean, and how they work. It's a special episode for two reasons. First, it's crowdsourced with contributions from a variety of folks. And second, it's not exclusively about puppies. We'll hear from the broader BDSM kink community to compare our collar expectations with those of other groups. Oh, and one more thing. I'm committed to making The Dog Dish accessible to everyone. I've made sure the show's website works with screen readers for folks with vision difficulty, and I get each episode's audio transcribed for those who can't easily hear them. Web hosting and transcriptions don't come cheap, with each episode running about $45 to $60 US to produce. If you enjoy the show, if you enjoy these conversations and want to keep them coming, if these episodes help you feel connected in times of isolation, please help support the show's production. Imagine if you and I had these chats in a bar, and you'd say, hey, let me buy you a drink. Consider sending that amount along, just to make sure that everyone, everywhere can benefit from these discussions. Just follow the Become a Patron link at dogdishshow.com, or go to pupacus.square.site. Thanks for helping out. In the meantime, go train your favorite podcast player to fetch, so you'll hear the next episode once it's released. Or you can visit dogdishshow.com for all episodes, for more information about the show, and to get in touch. But until then, you stay. Stay tuned for more, that is.